Take your Bibles and turn to chapter 3 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. You stand with us as we read the Word of God. We'll read it responsively. I'll read the first verse. You read the second. Let's read through verse 13, 1 through 13, okay? Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house.
For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God.
And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after.
But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice,
harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness.
When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years.
Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do all the error in their heart, and they have not known my voice.
So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you a feeble heart or unbelieving, in departing from the living God.
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you touch every heart and life that's in this room and the sound of my voice. Give me a freedom and ease that only the Holy Spirit can give. Touch lives and change them. Bless all of them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Down at verse 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. What the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit of God is where the Word of God is preached. And the Holy Spirit of God is God. It's God as he moves among the people. And the Holy Spirit's purpose is to draw men to Christ. The purpose of the Holy Spirit throughout the scripture is to magnify Jesus Christ. That's his job. And so inside of you, if you've been saved, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. He wants you to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to lift him up. He wants you to honor him, respect him, and be a witness to him so that someone could see you and say, you know, I see the way you believe. I see the way you live. How'd you get that way? What caused it? Why are you the way you are? And then you'll have a reason to answer because you have a hope within yourself. And the Holy Spirit ought to help you do that. Now, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. One of the most beautiful things I think you could do is come to the place to trust the Bible. Or you could take it and just believe it. Believing is a wonderful thing. And what it says right here, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, he gives an example. As in the provocation, this is back in the days when they were delivered from Egypt, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. This is the book of Hebrews, and it's telling you about when God delivered the Jews from Egypt. And it's an amazing thing. Every time I read it, I come back with sort of an astonishment. How these people could raise up a golden calf while they're out in the wilderness somewhere. Why they couldn't believe. God performed miracle after miracle in Egypt, and every one of them, if you knew a little bit about them, the particular miracles that he did, was that he was showing up a god of Egypt. The River Nile turned it to blood, turned the water to blood. That's a miracle. You're talking about miracles, Brian. That's a miracle. And we think about the big thing, the Passover lamb. Though the firstborn son wouldn't die. And on every house where they didn't put the blood, the firstborn son died. And where they put the blood, he didn't die. They've been slaves for a long time. Slaves. Slaves don't learn to think for themselves. Slaves have to go through a period of adjustment and learning on how to make your own decisions. Sort of like some teenagers that don't have the opportunity to make many decisions in their life. Well, they have a whole hard time when it comes to making all the decisions they have to make. And it's part of what life is. These people saw miracle after miracle. They saw where their houses were lighted when the Egyptians were in darkness. They saw all these different miracles on the flies, on the water, and all this stuff, and the firstborn son. Then as they're leaving out of Egypt, after performing all these miracles and maybe breaking Egypt, really, God parted the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground. Tremendous miracle. And then when the Egyptians are saying to do the same thing, ran their chariots onto that same road, the water came back, killed them all. Egypt is ruined after this. Now can you imagine after seeing all these things over a period of months, I would say, you're wandering through the wilderness and God feeds you water from a rock. Moses had been able to lead them all along, all the way. God gives them his commandments. And what do? They don't believe. They don't believe. You know, one of the problems with miracles, people who see miracles don't really believe. Have a problem that way. People that see the thing and ought to know and experience what's happening here and saying, wow, look at the power of God. No, they don't. Then they ask God for signs. How many times in the Bible somebody's asking God for a sign? Well, now do it this way, then do it another way, whatever. But how in the world this group of a million or 2 million people, is a very big crowd, that's wandering out across that wilderness, going up to the promised land, land flowing with milk and honey, a place where you could have your own vine tree, you could have your own house, you wouldn't be a slave anymore. They were all fearful. They couldn't trust God. It's an amazing thing, and that's why he says, harden not your hearts. You know, when God gives some great, wonderful promises, sometimes we don't want them because we don't want God controlling us. A lot of people don't want to read the Bible because they say, well, it's going to take all the fun out of my life.
Amen.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. If I get saved and surrender to preach, it's going to take all the fun out of life. That's not true. I'm still having fun. And I've been having fun for the last almost 60 years. Still having fun. And I'm having a much better time than I ever had before I was saved. Wonderful thing. So he's talking to him, said, the Holy Ghost says, today. And so I'm going to apply that today. It fits right where, real well, doesn't it? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know what? You ought to be careful if God moves upon you and you don't respond to his will. There is a law, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you know that is true in gardening? That's true in your yard. That's true in your personal life. That's true with your children. And by the way, it's true with you. You sow to the flesh, you sow to drunkenness, you sow to fornication, sow to adultery. You know what you're going to reap? You're going to reap the judgment of God Almighty. You decide to put things other than God, ahead of God. What do you think is going to happen? What is the natural progression? What is that one law that works in everything spiritual, and it works in everything financially? It works in horticulture, vegetables, everything. What you sow, you reap. There's some other things go along with what you sow, you reap. You always reap after you sow. And you always reap more than you sow. And sometimes you don't want to reap more than you sow. You, after you've sown it, you think, oh, I've got some. You might be sitting even in this room today. You know you're out of the will of God. You're living in sin. And you think, I'm going to get away with it. You're not. There's a law laid down in the book of Galatians. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Even if you're saved and you're forgiven and you're going to heaven, you can get forgiveness from God, but that doesn't mean that the consequences don't come for your sin. Amen. Amen. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. These guys that were delivered out of Egypt by Moses, they saw all these miracles. They were fed manna from heaven. Miracle after miracle came in their lives. And yet they have to turn around and not believe. That's an amazing thing to me. All of these things right before, but maybe it's the same with us. Man, I've been blessed. How's your life? You got a miserable life? You got troubles all your time? God never has blessed you very much. Hasn't blessed you with health. Hasn't blessed you with a lover. Hasn't blessed you with children. Hasn't blessed you with a good job. Hasn't blessed you with a lot of things. Well, I've been blessed a whole lot of ways. Do you have to count your blessings to praise God? Well, every time you count your blessings, you ought to be praising God. Well, just think, what if he didn't bless you? You ever seen people around you? Do you want to be the worst things you've seen in your life? No, of course not. Can't you be thankful to say, oh my, God has blessed me. God's given me good parents. God's given me good brother and sister. God's given me wonderful children. God's given me good friends. Hey, you were born in the United States of America.
Amen.
Well, I'd say that's a blessing.
Amen.
Have you ever lived outside of the United States of America?
Amen.
Well, I know you've seen it on television and you've seen it in movie pictures and you might have visited sometime. Go live outside the United States of America for just a little while and think, is that a blessing or not? As far as I'm concerned, it's a blessing. When I was a missionary in Guatemala, I used to tell my wife, we saw the people, and like we have our experience today, the people wanting to get to America. I remember a shoeshine man. Now, my daddy taught me to shine my own shoes, but when I was in Guatemala, that was a profession. Grown men supported their family by shining shoes. And so, even if my shoes were already shined, they wanted to shine them for 5 or 10 cents. Well, I got my shoes shined quite often. One of them was a man probably in his 40s, and he knew I was a missionary because I was preaching to him all the time while he shined my shoes. And he would say, we're going to kill you. we're going to kill you. We're going to kill all the Christians. He was a wannabe communist. I don't know that he had anything to do with the party, but he was a wannabe communist. And I said, why in the world do we have to build borders to keep people out? And communism has to build walls to keep people in. And he thought I was lying. He didn't think I was telling him the truth. But I was telling him the truth. People want to come to get the blessings you enjoy just naturally. They don't have it. They don't have things like you have. How about taking a little time and thanking God for the blessings that you've got? We got an old song, an old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. You start counting blessings and counting curses and adding them up together and seeing which one you got the most of, I think you'd come about to praise God. Thank God for what He's done for you. He said here that harden not your hearts like they did, your fathers, tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. God Almighty was disappointed with that bunch that He took out. They simply would not believe. They simply would not surrender to the Lord. Now, He's saying, don't harden your heart when God speaks to you. The Holy Spirit's touching your heart. Well, that same principle is true today. If God speaks to your heart, say you're lost in here. So you come in and you're not saved. You've never really repented of your sins. You've never made Christ the Lord of your life. You don't believe the Bible. You don't believe whatever. And God, the Holy Spirit, touches your heart and you think, I really do need that. But then you sit back and think, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want people laughing at me. I don't want to get in trouble with my family. Amen. I don't want to get in trouble with my friends. And you harden your heart. Amen. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Happens week by week, month by month, year by year, all across where the gospel is preached. Well, what happens is, God said, your fathers tempted me, they proved me, and they saw my works. Now, when they took them over to the promised land, they sent 12 spies in. Two of those spies said, we can take it. God's with us. We can take it. We can take this land. 10 of those spies, the majority, by the way, said, oh, we can't go. There are giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers beside them. We don't have a chance. Well, God has brought them all the way across. They've been a year or two crossing this desert land, and they're up to the promised land. They made God mad. They tempted Him, they proved Him, and then they saw His works. And He swore, you're going to walk till you die. And your children will go in, but you won't go in. Now that's the story. They wandered around 40 years and buried 1 million people. Or better. 40 years walking around in the desert because they wouldn't believe. Now what happened to their children? Well, their children went in and conquered the land. 40 years later. It's a very dangerous thing not to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Now you might not sense, you might not know what I'm talking about, but there is inside of you a way God communicates. He speaks to your heart. He shows you something that you need. Some sort of conviction comes up and say, that Bible is true. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is a creator. There's a super brain out there with superpower. This is no accident. You need to respond.
Amen.
You need to say yes, Lord, instead of no, Lord. You need to say, what would you have me to do? You remember the Apostle Paul walking on the Damascus Road? All of a sudden, he's struck and blinded on that road. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you've been persecuting. And he said, what will you have me to do? I would think that's a pretty good way to respond to God. What would you have me to do? What is the will of God? Well, the will of God, as Brian mentioned in the Sunday school, is that you be saved. The will of God is you repent of your sins, call upon the Lord, get forgiveness of your sins, and have a future in heaven when you die. That's the will of God. God so loved the world. He loved you. And he gave his only begotten son. Don't come up to the barrier to the doorway and turn it down. Don't come up to the place where you have an opportunity to choose Christ or reject Christ and reject him. What you need is what Christ can give you. Nobody else can. The honest truth is, religion doesn't save anybody. Good works don't save anybody. You could be the very best person in this room. Without Jesus Christ, you don't make it to heaven. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's either a liar, he's the only way. What a wonderful thing to have an invitation by the Holy Spirit of God. I rejected him. I went to preaching and listened, and I was convicted, but I didn't move. I didn't want to give up all the fun of my life. I didn't want to have somebody telling me what to do, especially like a Bible telling me what to do. In my mind, I thought, oh, boy, that's terrible. Well, after this many years, I think it's real good. It's a blessing. Now, look what it says in verse 12. Take heed, brethren. As the writer of Hebrews is writing back to these Jews, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Be real careful you're not rejecting God. Be real careful you don't say no to the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can be saved. You could join 50 churches, it wouldn't save you. You can have a lot of people praying for you, but they can't forgive your sins. Only God can. And God, by the Holy Spirit, is out inviting people every time this word is preached. I don't control the Holy Spirit. He goes where he pleases. I can't see him when he's moving. But he touches a heart here and a heart there. And maybe he doesn't touch anybody else that particular day. Might not be. And he might touch everybody. What is your opportunity? If the Holy Spirit of God comes to you, moves upon your heart, and you say, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is what I need. I need my sins forgiven. I need my soul saved. I need my life changed. I need a new future. You do. You can have it if you'll respond to the Holy Spirit. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But look at verse 13. This is what I'm doing today. Exhort one another daily. Exhort one another. Preach to one another. Remind one another. Rebuke one another. Daily. While it's today. Let me ask you, how long do you live? You only live today. You don't have a tomorrow. You're never going to live tomorrow. You live today. And when tomorrow, as we say, comes, it's still today. You got today to live. How long are you going to last? Now, you think, well, I'm going to last longer than you, old man. Well, maybe you might not. I am an old man. Never thought I'd get this old. And I'm thankful I can still get up and open up my mouth and preach the gospel. But let me tell you something. Nobody knows when they're going to die. I don't care if the doctors tell you you're going to die. Nobody knows when you're going to die but God. It's not in your hands. It's not in my hands. I went to the funerals of men 40 and 50 years old in a beautiful health. Nothing wrong with them. Go out and play a game of golf, come back, picking up the golf clubs out of the trunk of the car, drop dead. 45, 50 years old. Had a young man, 45 years old, ran 5 miles a day, just as fit as he could be. See, I'm a big old diabetic fatty. This guy, he didn't have an ounce of blubber on him. Heart attack. Tried to drive himself to the emergency room. Died on the way. You gonna live tomorrow? Maybe. Probably. But you don't have any guarantee of it. Today is the day you have.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. The Bible actually says today is the day of salvation. You need to have your sins forgiven. If they're not forgiven, you need to get them done today is what you need to do. And that's what he's telling you here. Exhort one another. Well, I don't like preachers. Well, so what? I don't like a lot of people too. And you're ugly as homemade soap. Did you know that? So what? What difference does it make? If you're talking about eternity, eternal life, you're talking about forgiveness of sins. Some of you got sins on you that are still hurting you, and you know it, and you won't go to God and get them forgiven. Why don't you just believe him? If we confess our sins, he, not a priest, not a preacher, not a church, not a committee, he will forgive our sins.
Amen.
Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now look at chapter 11. Chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter, and many verses in there are preached by many, many times by anybody that believes in faith. Verse 6 is a real clear explanation of what you need. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Think about that a minute. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want you to know there are many people with needs, and God does not answer that need. God answers faith. Take a look at your Bible. God doesn't come down and give everybody everything. People who have faith get blessed by God. Now, I don't know why faith is so important to God, but it is. One of the biggest doctrines, if you want to take it for actually how many times the words that talk about faith are used in the Bible, you'll be amazed. It's one of the great big things, believing. Just believing the testimony God left of his son. Just coming to the place in your life that you'd say, God so loved the world, he must have loved me. That whosoever, well, I can write my name under whosoever. Can you?
Amen.
Whosoever? I wrote, if Lendell Kincaid shall call on the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. Way back there. You can write your name in there.
Amen.
Whosoever. What an open invitation. Exhort us daily to reach out to a God that will save whosoever. Whosoever what? Believe. That's faith. Believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then look over at verse 24 of the same chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What does this faith has to do here? Moses refused something and chose something by faith. That's what it's telling you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Okay, Moses is raised up as like a grandson of Pharaoh. He's got all sorts of privileges. He's a man mighty in word and deed, it says. He's about 40 years old when he makes this decision. And he said here, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He took his Jewish heritage upon him. And notice, choosing. You make choices by faith. We make choices by fear. We make choices by love. We make choices a lot of different ways. He's saying you ought to make choices by faith. You ought to take God at his word and just believe it. Take a verse. Read it. Is it true? Is it true? I believe it's true. Does it apply to you? Yes. Put your finger on it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If Lendell Kincaid will call upon the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. You can write your name in there. And you ought to write your name.
Amen.
You need to write your name in there. Otherwise, it's going to be a very disappointing future. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather. He chose. You need to choose some things by faith. Well, one of the most famous chapters in the Bible is Romans chapter 10. Why don't you turn there? Some of the verses I'm going to read to you are the most well-known verses in the Scriptures. Maybe not as well-known as the 23rd Psalm and John 3:16, but very, very popular. You know why? It explains salvation clearly. Look at Romans chapter 10. In verse 8, the last line of verse 8, the word of faith which we preach. You want to know what Paul preached? You want to know what the Bible said? What he's telling you right here. Isn't that pretty clear? The word of faith which we preach. What is it? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus isn't into secret disciples. He's into confessing disciples. You say, well, really, I believe, but I just don't want to. No, no. Confess with your mouth.
Amen.
Man's going to get baptized today. That's a confession.
Amen.
Right out in front of all the world to see.
Amen.
Everybody here in this church, I have repented of my sins and I've taken Christ as my Savior and I believe He saved me.
Amen.
I believe I'm forgiven and I'm on the road to heaven.
Amen.
That's a public declaration. He's chosen to publicly declare I belong to Jesus from here on in the rest of my life. That's what He said here. The word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, there's your faith. What happens? Down in your heart. I'm not talking about that blood pump. I'm not talking about the blood pump. I'm talking about the heart of your life. Your reason for being. Who you really are. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. He didn't say he's rich to all, but all that call on him. Now maybe you don't call on him, you just eat his food and breathe his air and enjoy his sunshine and enjoy his life. But you ought to call on him. Look at verse 13. What a What a tremendous invitation verse. Verse 13, you ought to know this verse. Look at it. Romans 10:13. For whosoever. For if Lendell Kincaid shall call upon the name of the Lord, Lendell Kincaid shall be saved. Wow. Can you believe that? Can you believe it for yourself?
Amen.
I believed it for myself almost 60 years ago. 58 and a half, 59, something like that. Whosoever. Whosoever is a great big invitation word. You can write your name in there. Whosoever. Would you like to get in on that? For whosoever. Will you call?
Amen.
Will you call? God said if you'll call on me, you'll believe in me enough to call on me. You believe in Christ, you call on me. Shall be saved. Not might be. Not might hope to be. Not is good enough to be. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is Jesus, shall be saved. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful verse. You know, there's one other verse I want to show you, and just for make a point, it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You've been talking about gold and silver and clothes and raiment and food and all that other stuff that we work for. A certain amount of our money goes out of each month so we can eat, so we can have a place to live, so we can have some heat, so we can have some gas to drive a car. Yeah, we need all these things. What God's saying? What Jesus saying? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First. God comes first.
Amen.
You don't ever want to put anybody in front of God. You don't want to put your children. No, no, no. You can have everything but my children. You don't want to put your children before God. You don't want to put your job before God. You don't want to put your health before God. You don't want to put anything before God. God comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what did he say? All these other things will come. You're going to have plenty of food. You're going to have clothes to wear. You're going to have a place to stay. You're going to be able to take care of your family. Put God first. Don't refuse when God, the Holy Spirit, touches your heart and says, I'm talking to you. And you can know it. And you may be sitting here and nothing touches you. That's okay. I'm preaching so somebody will be touched. The Bible says you can't tell how the Spirit moves. It's like the wind rustling in the trees. It'll move from this person to that person to that person. I have no clue. I just know it moved upon me.
Amen.
Changed my life. Amen. Gave my wife a new husband, my kids a new father. Me a new joy. My friend said, you got a bad dose of religion. It'll be over in a couple of weeks. It's not over.
Amen.
I'm still going. It's not over. Praise God.
Amen.
First, seek God. First, obey God. First, make God important in your life. Call upon Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever. Anybody want to write their name in there today? I wrote my name in there years and years and years ago. Not quite 21 years old. Wrote my name in there. If Lendell Kincaid shall call upon the name of the Lord, Lendell Kincaid will be saved. Now I consider that a flat statement of truth. And it's worked well for me all these years. What about you? What about you? You know what you need to do? You need to come to God just as you are. Not when you've repented a whole lot, not when you've cleaned your life up, not when you've got everything going your way, not when you've turned over a new leaf and taken care of all of your bad things and things that are bothering your conscience. No. Put him first. Come to him now. Let him help you take care of your problems. Let him guide you in getting out of the mess you're in. Because a whole lot of things, you can't do it. You need God.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved?
Amen.
I hope you're saved. If you're not saved today, why don't you call on the Lord? Or if you are not understanding, talk to me or to Billy or to Brian or to some of these others in here. Get something clear. But if God's spoken to your heart, do what God wants you to do. Doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God puts on your heart. You need to obey the Holy Spirit in the leadership of God Almighty for your life. Let's stand. 235 for our hymn. 235. Why don't you let God have his way today? Why